You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 250, Julius or Me. I serve as your humble and also gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. What it do, Purple Pants Posse? We are back for a new episode. Yeah, baby boy has had a very exciting new beginning weekend. The baby boy was busy packing, getting ready for Brooklyn, our 2-day event. Had to check in with some family members, just keeping all of my family members in prayer. And there was just a lot going on, and so I had a really great weekend, a little stressful, but just humbling weekend that, time is very important. And it is very important that you let the people know in your world that they are important to you, because tomorrow is not promised. With that being said, I'm just excited to have this platform of the Purple Pants Podcast. I'm excited for you to be listening to my very illustrious voice. I'm just very grateful. A lot going on. Your baby boy is stressed, and I'm trying to use my coping skills because, I'm on a roll for a better Bryce. And sometimes Spicy Brycey comes out. I don't like when Spicy Brycey comes out, but I am, as I'm growing, as I'm learning, as I'm evolving, I am able to... I know the triggers of Spicy Brycey, but sometimes I'm not able to verbalize them. But I know when Spicy Brycey has arrived. And so I am just working on communicating to my loved ones, my friends, my families, that when Spicy Brycey has arrived, I'm just, you know, on a road to a better Bryson. Listen, he here, so I'm going to take a step back. But, you know that it's not anything intentional. And so, you know, it's communication, okay? And acknowledgement is the first step. So, listen, I've been on a roller coaster of a weekend, but I've had the pleasure of recording a great podcast for you. I watched a lot of great things on Netflix that I'm thinking I might have to do some reviews in the upcoming weeks. Have y'all been seeing Cleopatra? Have y'all seen Mother? Now, I got a little, I feel some type of ways about Mother, but then there's Missing, then Tom Hanks, they got that new, the new Netflix movie, even though it was recorded in 2022, but they got it on Netflix now with Tom Hanks. But anyway, it's so much going on. So I'm just grateful for the Purple Pants Posse, and I'm grateful for this episode. So let me give you the rundown of this week's episode. You know, we got the church announcements. It is giving casual tea with Amon and B. Who we are discussing Jerry Springer. Ooh, we getting into the tea of Harry and Meghan. We're talking about the NYC City Bike Karen. We're talking about the IRS. We're talking about this TikToker and creator, Lexi J. We're talking about Jay-Z and this alleged son. And we are talking some amazing and funny moments from the Renaissance Tour. So you don't want to miss this casual tea. Miss Barb stops by for Barb's message, and we are crowning a very special Freak of the Week. So listen, buckle up, put your seatbelts on. Okay, if you gotta go to the bathroom, head to the bathroom now. Make sure your luggage is stowed. Okay, make sure the aisles are clear, because we are getting in to this week's church announcements.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
And on this week's church announcements, this podcast comes out May 23rd. It is a Tuesday. The Bryce and Wynn Tour 44 has gone on 7 amazing stops, and all things are leading to Brooklyn. We are grateful, humbled, and blessed to say that our Brooklyn finale party is sold out. We are having a welcome party on May 23rd at Bounce USA. Some tickets are still available. So listen, if you want to come sing some karaoke or rap some karaoke, because you know what your baby boy gonna do. Only got one karaoke song, and it's the best song that I do ever. So we still have some tickets available for that. Click the link in my Instagram bio or head over to Bryce and Wynn Present on Instagram. And I will see you later tonight. And if I don't see you tonight, I will see you on Wednesday at Bryce and Wynn Presents, the finale in Brooklyn. We also today, May 23rd, have a mental health panel that is going to be just, I'm so excited for this panel. It's going to be amazing. You can check out all the details on the Bryce and Wynn Present Instagram page. Now listen, let's get this podcast rolling. Ooh, somebody poured a tea, because it's giving casual.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. 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 It's a casual tea.
What it do? We are back this month with your casual tea with Amon and B. Okay, we are not taking hiatus. I had to stalk Amon. I had to text him. I practically had to show up at his door this morning to say, are we recording? But one of my favorite
lies
segments
just never stop.
I'm just saying, okay. But one of my favorite segments here on the podcast, Casual Tea with Amon and B. Amon, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
I am good. I'm well, and ready to sip on some tea.
Yes, yes, yes. Glad we have a brilliant. Yes. How's everything going? Summer is right around the corner. The weather practically has broken. I feel like there really is no more spring. I feel like, child, we didn't really have a winter here. Like, I felt like it was like a severe spring, and now we just jumped right into summer.
You know, I'm here for it. Like, because summer always goes by so quickly. So if we get like a little extra 2 months of summer, I will not complain. I will, you know, concede that I hope that it's a milder summer. Like, I don't need it to be 90 every day, although 90 doesn't really bother me as much as it bothers everyone else. But I will be fine if we're, you know, mostly in the 75 range. That's good. That's a nice little happy medium.
Listen, if it could be 70 all year round, some people are like, it's not warm enough. But I'm like, all year round, I could take a 70 degree weather. But I feel like with global warming, we get this extra cushion of summer, because I feel like, child, it still be 70 in the beginning of November. So, yeah.
Global warming. I mean, November, I don't know. September into October sometimes, but by November, it be chilly again.
I mean, it do be chilly, but we still get, I remember like three Christmases ago on Christmas Eve, when, you know, me and my family was wetting the whistle, we were sitting outside on the back porch.
Yeah, that did happen this past November, where all of a sudden we had like some 70 degree days. It was really weird. But then like sometimes in like April still, it'll pop up to like 60-70 and then drop back down to 30-40 for a week, and it's like, what's going on? Like, can we please have some consistency? It's just the transition months just be out of control here. They don't know, they had go through identity crisis. They don't know what they want to be. They don't know if they want to be summer. They don't know if they want to be fall. Do they want to be winter? Do they want to be fall? Like, I don't, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Which I turned my heat off 2 months ago, okay? Because I wasn't paying off for all of that. I was shivering, but my bill was low. Well, I am glad that you're here. We have some interesting topics on the teapot this week, so we are jumping right into them. We talked about on the podcast, just the regular Purple Pants, about the passing of Jerry Springer. And in my opinion, he truly was an icon. I feel like for me, there was not a sick day when I was in elementary and high school that didn't go by that Jerry did not impact my life. You know, that 1 o'clock hour was Jerry Springer. The 2 o'clock hour was Maury. So it really kind of, Jerry, I grew up with Jerry, you know, it aired in 1991. The Jerry Springer Show was on for 30 years. And, you know, Jerry passed away. He had pancreatic cancer. Rest in peace. But after he passed, it was this story that I saw circulating about Jerry having children out of wedlock. And I saw a couple of stories about it on my peruse of the social media and didn't pay anything to it. Then I want to say last week, a Zoom video popped up on the Twitters. And I'm like, why isn't major networks covering this? And Bay Bay, it was Jerry, his lawyer. And what was a bit suspicious to me were his two alleged biological children. Then they had these two black children, well, adults on it. And it is the lawyer basically reading what we believe, as you watch this video, to be the reading of Jerry's will and separating his assets. And it goes into this really long thing where Jerry alleges that he was married. He had an affair with this woman. He couldn't stay away. He had two children. She forbade him to see them after he had the second child with them. And he just went on and on and on. And essentially, he felt as though he did not do right by those children, and he wanted to leave all of his assets, his estate, his liquid assets, his non-liquid assets, everything to his children of color. And it hit the internet, the Twitter spheres by storm. People was typing, child, not Jerry, going out in a Jerry Springer way. And it really kind of like gasped a lot of us. What was your initial thoughts to that video, Aman?
It was kind of debunked for me pretty quickly when I saw the video, because, you know, Twitter does have that feature where it will, under viral tweets that are misleading, it'll have a little blurb saying, here's what this actually is, which I think that, you know, one of the few things that Twitter is doing right nowadays. And so I knew going into it that it wasn't real, but when I saw the initial tweet, like before seeing the blurb, I was like, oh my goodness, interesting. And I just thought it was interesting just how quickly everyone was willing to believe this of Jerry Springer. I think it sort of just speaks volumes about what the parasocial relationship is that we have with him, and that we assume him to be the type of guy that would first, well, first we would have to assume that he'd be the type of guy to have children out of wedlock, let alone black children out of wedlock. And then at the end of his life, he would try to make amends if he was not there for them during their life. It was peculiar to me that so many people were able to believe this when the two children that were, the two black children that were on, well, they weren't children when they were adults.
Right.
The two adult children that were on the video looked to me like they were just full on black. Now, I know, I know that we all come to different shades and sizes. And I know that sometimes biracial people can resemble like more than they can resemble one way more so than the other. It happens. It's always a shock to us when it happens, but it does happen.
They were black children.
But they look like they mama black, they daddy black, both grandparents are black on both sides. Like they were black, okay? So that was kind of funny to me. And the fact that everyone was so willing to believe that this would be so public and that this meeting that they were having wouldn't be sort of like together. Like, why are all of them like on Zoom? Like, wouldn't at least two of them be together? Or maybe like, it feels to me like a reading of a will or something like this would have to be in person, but I don't know. Maybe I don't really know the whole, you know, legality behind all of that. But yeah, like everyone on Twitter was just gagging, just like, oh my God, like he left his black children all his money, like a true G all the way to the end. And I was like, well, he still is, even though this didn't happen. So.
Right. I felt the same way. When I was like watching the video, I'm like, well, these kids don't look biracial. Even like, you know, like biracial doesn't have a look, but like it can have a look. And I'm like, I don't know. But I think that just the story of it all was just so like, oh, it gagged me. But it actually was from a pandemic viral play called Blood Money, where Jerry made a cameo in the production, which was featured in Reframed 2020, a festival of new plays on social justice presented by Tulane University, a school that Jerry went to. So this clip was from 2022. Somebody on the internet wanted to. It is unclear, though, whether or not, I mean, even though, in my opinion, the answer is already there, whether the person that posted this clip knew it was from the play or they saw it and just retweeted it. And Jerry was only married once. His wife died in 1994. He only has one daughter named Kate Springer. So yeah, it just kind of gagged me a little bit because I don't know. And we can dive a little deeper, right? Because even if everyone was saying like, oh, like you were saying, Jerry's a G for that. Like, that's mad respect. I'm like, but is it though? Like, hypothetically, like if you had these two children that you never acknowledged, you supported them their whole lives, but they never knew who you were. You don't want anything to do with them. And then on like your dying, on your last will, you leave them everything. Like, that is commendable, but that doesn't, like, money isn't everything. So I just even was torn with how I felt about Jerry on this fake story, because mm-hmm. like it is commendable, but at the same time it's like, is it though? Like, money isn't everything, believe it or not.
I think people were just, because I hear you too, like I said, like you would have to assume, like if you wanted to believe this story was true, then you have to believe that he fathered two children that he didn't take care of their entire lives or whatever. Like, so it's like, it's sort of like a catch 22. I think people are just sort of were sort of just drawn in by the narrative of it, especially given, and this is something that Jerry talked about while reading the script, that like, especially during what's going on in today's social climate, I think it was just an attractive story for people to hear, that, you know, black people were getting their just due in a sense, even though this has nothing to do with us. It was still nice to see these black children that were unjustly neglected finally get their comeuppance against perceived oppressors, even though I guess in this situation, if there were white children, they had nothing to do with this. Like, it's not their fault that their father was a philandering whore and went out and was effing around and fathered two other children that he decided to neglect. So I just think that people were sort of like intoxicated with that narrative and just thought it was sort of like a really not fun, but like just really interesting thing to see.
I also gagged in the video when he talks to his daughters and is saying like, and again, it's interesting because it's fake, but it's still gag worthy when in the video, after he awards the children everything, you can see on the two actors' face, like they're gagged, and he's like, to Amon and Kate, throughout your life, I told you to make your millions. And like, you know, I hope that you'll be okay. If you are pressed up for money, you can sell your homes. I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, because that was it, right? Because he left his white children like their property.
Homes that they, yeah, that, just the homes that they were in. Because it, like, you know, he said that he had like homes in Mississippi. Like, Mississippi, he had like 12 homes. And clearly the homes that the fake children were living in were his homes. And so he essentially was like, you could stay there.
And or if you, sell it. Yeah.
Right. If you get a little pressed for money, you can sell it. That is what gagged me. But it also opens up this conversation. And I know we're not trying to go down there, but like, believe it or not, this is the summer of the summer for the presidential elections. We just had, you know, our primary elections in Philadelphia. We are headed to have probably our first Black female mayor. She won the Democratic nomination for mayor, and we will have an election in November. And I believe for like over 100 years, Philadelphia's mayors have always been Democratic, but they've always been Democratic in men. And so Chanel has won the nomination for Democratic mayor candidate. So more than likely, we're going to have our first Black female mayor, which is exciting, although it's like, girl, child, do you want the job? Because it's just so much going on. But it just, this video really had me thinking about the political climate that we're getting ready to go into, because believe it or not, we're going into it. We're already seeing the remnants of it now. But it just really shows you how easy, when you don't have context to videos, when you don't have information, and you feel like you are watching something, it has to be true, just how easy us as consumers can be duped.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will believe this, and people will stand on it. People will, it's very scary.
It's very scary. It is, like, and it's so easy nowadays for people to just go along with something people don't like to read, which is why I would just, once again, I would urge people to always vet their resources, because on another side to this, like I said, the tweet that I saw had the blurb under it. Maybe not all the tweets did, but the tweets that I saw had the blurb under it. So you always would just want to make sure that, like, especially when you're going into something like an election cycle where you're trying to find out who is right for you to vote for. Like, you just have to do your best across reference. Like, if you see it one place, see if you see it another place and another place and another place. Like, and if something feels a little fishy, you're probably right that it is fishy. Like, we have, like, I feel like human beings do have like a good sense of like BS detectors. It's like something seems a little off. Then your first instinct is probably correct. You just do a little digging. Like, don't you want to have that information? You want the right information? Like, don't be lazy here. Like, we have to do a little bit of the work, but we also have to just demand that people stop misleading people. Like, stop purposefully putting stuff out there
for clicks
that you know is not right, for clicks, and just to like drive up traffic to your website or wherever. Like, that just ultimately it leads to information silos where people are trapped in their own little bubbles, and they're going to believe the first thing that they see, because why would the people that are, you know, supposedly on their side lie to them? Like, it's just, it's a lot. It's
a lot. And so with these elections coming up, baby, it's going to be a lot.
Now, well, I wonder if I have some crazy benefactor daddy out there that,
child. Okay. Cause listen, I love my mother, but people have always told me I look like Prince, okay? So, I'm just saying, purple rain.
Okay.
I'm just saying, they always said I look like Prince, and they said when I sing, that I sing way better than Amon, and that sometimes, like, my harmonies remind them of Prince, so I'm just saying.
Well, you better hurry up, because he's been dead now for 7 years, so whatever money that he got left in that account, people be sucking it dry by now.
I'm just saying, if I post a video of me on Zoom with an attorney with Prince, you better believe it.
Have you been seeing those stories about Jay-Z apparently having some child?
Listen, Amon, that's not even on the topic, but we could get into it. So, okay, come on, Amon. Okay. Ooh, see, this is why I love Casual Tea, because it's like, it's not like we're podcasting. It's literally like me and Amon are on the phone. And I also think it's funny whenever we do have conversations on the phone, Amon. Have you ever realized like our conversations be like an hour and 40? Like we go.
They're just be talking.
And we just, anyway. So anyway, that's this alleged Jay-Z story. So Jay-Z, we all know who Jay-Z is. This story has been around. There is this man who is 30 years old who is claiming that Jay-Z is his father. This came up over a decade ago. He filed motions in court. He even had his mom sign an affidavit. His mom has since passed. In the affidavit, the mom essentially says it was a one-night stand. I think she says, like, the condom broke. And you know that she alleges in this affidavit that, like, she had intercourse with Jay-Z around the timeline. After 9 months, she had this baby. This man has come out a decade ago. I remember when this was circulating, he was trying to get the courts to have Jay-Z take a paternity test. The courts then sided with Jay-Z, understandably, in the sense that, like, if they were to make that precedent, then anybody could, like, have, you know, Jay-Z take these DNA tests. However, it's been a decade since. He has now filed a motion with the Supreme Court urging Jay-Z. Now, mind you, I haven't done my research, but this is just what I know from my knowledge. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he has filed a motion with the Supreme Court, or the case has gone to the Supreme Court level, or this, like, the highest circuit level of court of where this young man lives. Mm-hmm. And he is urging for Jay-Z to take the paternity test. We don't know what the rulings are on that. However, and again, this man is 30 years old. He's an adult. And we know Jay-Z is 50. So it would have been when he was in his 20s, right around the era of his first album. And this man claims that he doesn't want money. He doesn't want anything. He just wants a relationship with Jay-Z. Now,
I mean. Okay, let me not say bullshit, because that's a little bit of a.
But it is like, you do want something. Now, this is the thing that gags me. When they show photos of this man.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, he resembles Sean Carter.
He does.
Like he resembles
the nose and them cheeks.
The nose and the cheeks. He resembles Sean Carter. And that's Jay-Z's real name. I mean, he resembles him. I mean, it's a striking. I mean, I ain't going to judge nobody on their looks, but Jay-Z has a distinct look.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very distinct.
Very distinct. Yeah. And this man looks like him. And a part of me, I do feel like this man hasn't gone away. This man is going off of what his mother has said, right? And so this man has been on this journey for over a decade.
And the woman, or the man that was originally on this gentleman's birth certificate as his father was removed, I think, back like when they first started doing, like when they first started claiming that Jay-Z was the father, they did a DNA test on him and it determined that he was not indeed his biological father. So as of right now, that man does not have any person on his he does not have any man on his on his birth certificate under father. So it's he looks a lot like Jay-Z. Like, look, now there are people out there that have no connection to one another, that resemble one another, like, and it's crazy. Like, you would swear that they're either siblings or in the same family. Like, it happens. Sometimes, like, DNA is a weird thing, okay? Human, like, it just, genes are a weird thing. And sometimes you have doppelgangers out there and you just don't even realize, man, and they are not related to you at all. But, I mean,
yeah.
Why? I mean, I don't know why someone puts themselves through such a strenuous battle to get a DNA test ordered if they weren't absolutely sure that he was going to be the father. Like, if there was something within this woman, and she has since passed, so may she rest in peace. I think she passed away in 2019. If she was not 100% sure that Jay-Z was her father's child, I just don't really see her doing all of this to get him to take a DNA test, because once the DNA test is taken and it's proven that he's not the father, then what have you gained? You've spent all this money on all of these court appearances and fees and stuff for what? So it's like, I don't know. Maybe she did have an affair with Jay-Z back in the 90s. Maybe she did. But was he the only person that you had sex with? But I mean, if she did have an affair with Jay-Z in the 90s and his and her child ended up looking like that, I'm like, okay,
right.
Well.
Yeah. And I mean, I just think about this young man on his journey who does not know who his father is. Like, money aside, fame aside, I on a human level, I could relate to like you wanting to know who your father is.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. On Jay-Z's side, I completely understand the reluctancy to not want to take the test or not want to be subjected to this, because then it just opens the door for so many people to claim so many different things. But then it just gets awkward, because like, what if he finally does take the test and he is the dad?
Yeah, and I mean, especially with the whole Lemonade era where...
But I mean, he ain't even know...
I mean, like, obviously, this would have been before he was with Beyoncé. So it's not the same, but it's just like... it would just be like such a... It would just go... Like, people would tie it together automatically and be like, oh my God, like, look at him, like, having these all these secret babies, and now Beyoncé got to deal with this. But more so, the incriminating thing about this would mean that if this were true, that means that he had sex with the deceased when she was 16. Now, obviously, statute of limitations, they said this happened in Philadelphia. I think the statute of limitations here, I think we're way past that. So he would not be able to be charged. But still, like, now he's got to deal with the fact that he was effing around with a 16-year-old when he was like 22, 23. So that just put the stain on his image. Right. And clouds everything that him and his family have been up to. So it's just like his legal team is going to continue to fight this. I don't know. Like, if you wanted my opinion on it, I think that's his child.
I think
he had a crazy night when he was young and, you know, in the 90s and just becoming, because we've seen, have you seen that video of him on that rooftop with, I can't even remember what it was, but I was shocked when I saw it, Bryce. It was like some kind of like crazy, like weird interview video. And he's like on this rooftop with a bunch of other dudes. And there's just naked ladies out there without like tops on, people getting, you know, blowjobs. Like, and the camera was just in everybody's face. And Jay-Z was in the video. Like, and I thought I was looking, because I'd seen it on Twitter a couple times, and I was waiting for the little blurb to be like, this is fake, but like it looked like some weird, like 90s, like weird, racy, like underground interview show where they just were allowed to be topless or whatever. It was so weird to me. So I'm like, I would not put it past Jay-Z to be out here hoeing around.
The 90s was a crazy time,
right? Like, he would be far from the only one. Like,
listen, you know, they coming out with them Freaknik documentaries in the 90s. That, you know, people are not happy about, but it is not supposed to be what people actually think it is about. It's more about like the culture and the, yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting topic.
It's, yeah, very much so.
So, I mean, yeah, that's a, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, let's head over to New York City. You know, Prince Harry was just over there for the coronation of his father and, you know, King George. And Queen, what's the queen name now? Camilla.
Camilla, yeah. Camilla.
And you know, there was a lot of talk when, you know, Harry was over there, like, you know, oh, he came by himself. He was the Archie's birthday, then he flew back, and it looked like Harry and Meghan and Meghan's mother were in New York for some event, and their head of security came out, and even Harry came out basically saying that they were on a wild paparazzi car chase. I believe even the head of the security firm, let me just get my like information right, who actually said this? A spokesperson for the couple said last Wednesday that it was a near catastrophic car chase. And obviously we know the infatuation with paparazzi and the royal family, specifically Meghan, specifically with Harry, specifically with Harry's mother, and Prince Diana and her tragic death. And so, like, when we hear this, it's like, oh my God, like, that's so crazy. When the story came out, people was calling BS. Like, people were saying that, like, you don't go on no high speed chase in New York City. They're like, this ain't LA. This is New York City. You can barely go a block without running into traffic. And specifically where they were, with all of the press and everything that was around, like, it, the traffic that it caused in that borough in New York, people are just calling they're calling BS. I feel like anything with Harry and Meghan, anything they say, people are going to contest it. I feel like we know how the tabloids work over there. We've seen the documentary. We know that it, like, it works in the favor of the firm to rebut anything that they say because it makes them less believable. I really feel like, just from the information that I have read and I have seen, I feel like there was a paparazzi chase. I feel like their spokesperson used the term catastrophic, but I feel like they could have subbed that adjective for an aggressive paparazzi chase. Because now it just has this talk where everyone is like, that ain't possible.
Obviously, if you're a paparazzi in New York City and you're not aggressive, you're not getting paid. Like, that's just the simple fact of the matter. Like, it's gruesome and it's horrible and it's invading and it's just like a nasty underbelly side of, not even underbelly, because it's very much public. It's just a nasty part of celebrity culture. But I agree. I think it was sensationalized, especially when it hit online. I think, you know, all sorts of news outlets wanted to get their clicks once again. So they made the story seem a little bit more crazy than it actually was. Now, I think people were sort of also attuned to the fact that, once again, Harry is having to deal with having to protect his wife. And in a similar manner to, like, they're drawing parallels to what's happening to Meghan and what happened to Princess Diana. I think that that's been like an ongoing through line for this story. And I think it's just like a juicy bit of the story that people really are drawn to once again. And so it's like, I think it was just a way for people to be like, oh my God, they're going to kill them in the car crash. Just like Aunt Di, or not Aunt Di, but
not Aunt Di, girl. Princess you got Diana. Royal blood, girl. We got a paternity test coming.
Yep, me too. Me too, girl.
Okay, you gotta get your point.
Oh, you gotta make my pounds. Go over to England, okay. Make my pounds, baby. But yeah, so I think I think it was they definitely made that they gassed it up. They gassed it up, no pun intended.
Harry comes out and doubles down on it. And I mean, they say, I think, I don't know if they said 10 or 20 minutes the chase went on. Child, then to make things worse, you know that mayor that New York City got, Eric, I don't know what his last name is. I want to say Abrams, but it's not. Hold on, wait, let me, what's his name? But child, that New York City mayor is... Yeah, I thought we were.
I just feel like there would be much more like video footage of it if it were actually the high speed car chase that they're
right that they are saying, and that's what Eric Adams came out and child, you know, he always gonna have an opinion about opinion about opinion, and he came out and said he doubts that it happened, and he wants to take a look at the footage because. And again,
like you're saying that there were cameras all over the place taking videos and photos, and we have yet to see footage of like a chase.
So that should, that to me just feels a little, now I don't want to like say that what he was feeling was not real, what they were feeling was not, but they were, right. probably were terrified, and they were staying at a place that was not theirs. They were staying with a friend that was private property, and they did not want to get followed and put that friend at risk. So I don't doubt that it did last 20 minutes because the driver probably, they could probably kept telling the driver, circle around, we can't go in yet, circle around, we can't go in yet. They probably had to get to a safe point where they knew that they were not going to compromise the location of wherever their friend was. So if it did last that long, sure, I'm sure it did. But was it a high-speed chase, or was it just a long chase?
And
you know what I mean?
Eric Adams doubled down because, I mean, he's the mayor of New York, and he is trying to make New York safer even through his attempts. And I could understand him being like, I don't know if this is true. Here's another thing. Maybe hot take, maybe not a popular opinion. You want to keep that friend? You want to stay with that friend that is safe? You want to keep that location of that friend safe? If you are Harry and Meghan, should you be effing staying there in the first place, going to a public event?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's fair. Like, it is, you have to... They have to sort of like, and I know that they probably did, you know, weigh out all their options. I mean, it's New York City. New York City is full of celebrities, and there are full of like hotels and residential spaces that are so used to having to accommodate high profile people, right? Like, I'm sure that there were places that they could have gone as outside of their friend. Sometimes you just want to be amongst familiar faces, and you know, you want to feel comfortable, and you just want to, you know, be like anybody else and be like, I'm going to go over to my friend's place and da 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 da. So I get the wanting to do that. And if it was like in a secluded, even though, you know, it's New York City, so how secluded could it be? But in a more secluded area,
but
you know,
going
I don't
there from that place. It's like I get it. My thing is like, go to a hotel. Stay in a hotel for 30 minutes. Leave out the back door. Like, you know.
Yeah, there should have been a better planning
right.
for them to get to wherever they were trying to go. Like, there has to be a back way or take right. a side route. Or like you said, you can use decoys. Plenty of celebrities use decoys all the time. Like, so, you know, I don't want to blame them too much.
No,
but like,
no, I'm not.
We
I'm
can
not.
Call a spade when right. like, yeah, we can talk about like, okay, they're where did we go wrong here? Where did we actually, you know, fail and say like, oh, we probably could have done this a little bit differently. And do we have to, and it might not have been them sensationalizing it so much. It could have been just like,
this,
you know, the media.
Yeah.
And then Harry was like, well, we were at risk. And I'm like, you probably were.
Right.
Because the paparazzi are crazy. But it wasn't no has to be chase.
So I'm just waiting for the receipts to come out. And again, like, I don't want to minimize, like, they had, Meghan had her mother. I'm sure they just had PTSD. So
right.
it's a lot for them. So, but yeah, that was another hot take. Now, child, keeping it in the city of New York with these city bikes. Now, I saw this video on the TikTok. They are calling her City Bike Karen. And there is a video, it's about 90 seconds. It is, looks to be three black teenagers. One teenager is on a bike in our view of the camera, it's the right, but it's probably the left. And then there is a white female nurse who we learn is pregnant. And there is another black teen. They keep calling them men. That if you look at the video, they are teens. And he's half on the bike. She's half on the bike, right? And so they are arguing over whose bike it is. The teen on the bike, there is another teen recording, okay? Because in this day and age, you got to record. I'm so glad that they actually did record, honestly, because there's so much to this case, right? So, hold on, wait, let me just, where does she work? She works. She had her badge on. She works for, it's like the New York City Health Department. Do we know the name of the hospital, or are they just saying the New York City Health Department? Okay. The New York City Health Department. I swear I saw it somewhere. Where did I have it? Because they reviewed the video. Hold on, babe. Give me a second, y'all. Anyway, they're just saying NYC Health Plus Hospitals. I guess that's like their network. Like here in Philadelphia, they've got like Mainline or Einstein. and so they're going back and forth. The woman is saying that it's her bike. She and the children in the video or teens are saying it's his bike. The one teen has his phone out. The woman then begins to, now this is where she then begins to scream for help. Help, 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 help. People are walking by. It looks to be another hospital worker, looks to intervene. He says, why reset the bike? The teens are saying, why? And they're calling him Reset Ken. Because again, I'ma just lay the facts and I'ma just say my point. So then he comes in, he says, reset the bike, reset the bike. The teen is saying, why do I need to reset my bike? Then there's another bike to the right. The guy says, and as the guy is intervening, this woman begins to sob. The teen that is videoing, is he even says, miss, there is no tear. So she begins to cry or pretend to cry as this other white man injects himself into the situation to kind of sort of de-escalate, but not really de-escalate because it's very clear on which side that he is on. When he then says to the lady, after he says reset, the teens say, why do we have to reset? The bike is on my phone. Like, this is my bike. I'm not resetting anything. Then they go, well, you can have this bike. The woman then releases the bike, immediately no tears. And she says, well, I can do that reluctantly. And that's all that we get of the clip. This clip is just very triggering. It's a lot of things. So let me also say that the woman has now, the New York Health hospitals have reviewed the videos. They said that it is, I believe the word that they used, are disturbing. And at the time that this was circulating, they said that they are looking to review it. Now it has come out that they have placed her on a leave. We don't know if it's a paid leave or not a paid leave. She's 6 months pregnant. There have now been people that support her coming out with a GoFundMe. She has hired an attorney. It is very important to know that this is an employment attorney because she wants to ensure that, like, she is not discriminated against her job. The attorney is now saying that they have receipts. And on the receipts that the attorney alleges that we have not seen, they have not been made public. And the fact, so anyway, let me just say the story before I even get my facts. So he says there are receipts. One receipt said the bike was booked, then it was canceled. And then a minute later, a bike was booked for 25 minutes. And he says that has receipts. Now people are coming out in support of this woman. She booked the bike. She booked the bike. She booked the bike. We're all wrong. We're all wrong. We're all wrong. Okay. So let me just give you my take real quick. One, whether she booked a bike or not, I think what people are missing is it's not the fact of the bike. Okay. Who cares about the bike in reality? It is her weaponizing her white privilege. And if you watch the video, right, and it, mind you, and they're saying, oh, she's 6 months pregnant. Well, if you are 6 months pregnant, ma'am, and you see that video, it is very clear in that video how aggressive and how she, I just really want y'all to watch that video because I want you to watch the way that the look in her eyes as she's looking at those teens and as she is saying, help, help me, help me, help me. It is, I mean, it is very clear the demeanor and the way that she is looking at these boys when she is saying it, like, I'm a white woman, I'm a scream help, and y'all better know what's going to happen next. Then when this white man comes over and interjects because she screamed help and, you know, people come. But child, you could be on the subway and somebody have you in a headlock and millions of people be there and you're a person of color and you will die. But I digress. Different situation, apples and tomatoes. But I'm just saying, A white woman screams help in New York, and here comes the savior. He comes in. The moment he enters this situation, she begins to sob. Not a tear comes out. And immediately he says, reset the bike. And my thing is, it's like he immediately is like, here's a white woman, three black men, because that's what they look at them as, but they are teenagers. They look like it's three black men. Reset the bike. Why do we have to reset the bike to appease her? And that's what the teens say. The teens actually say, and the teens have their phone out. Like, you know, like having their phone out as in to say, like, this bike is registered to me. Reset the bike. Why? Why automatically and why, like, you come into this situation and you immediately side with this woman? Then the teens put up a fight and say, no, we're not going to do that. Then they say, well, there's a bike right here. Then he says to the woman, well, actually, why don't you go to the bike right there? Immediately, stop sobbing. Well, I can. And that's the video clip that we see. And I think that it's just very important. For me, I think of Emmett Till. For me, I think of these situations where cameras aren't rolling, what that woman did to those black boys could potentially have ended their life. And I think it's very important for us to call a thing, okay? Then she hires this employment lawyer because, yeah, that girl, in this day and age, we see with our own eyes what you just did, the despicableness of it. And it's like the aggressiveness of her in that video. Like, girl, you're not acting like a 6-month pregnant woman. Like, and also, plenty of times in the video, you hear the boys say, get off of me. Don't touch me. Like, very clearly. So then this attorney, who I understand his role in this job, is to minimize this woman's position because his job is for her to keep her job. So then they miraculously say they have these receipts. And then that's all people need to hear to say, oh, she bought the bike. She bought the bike. Baby, let's actually see the receipts, okay? Like, so all you have to say is that you have receipts of a bike being purchased. The bike could have been purchased 30 minutes ago. The bike that was purchased could have been the bike that the man said to get after that. Like, that would not stand up in the court of law. However, people come to her defense, again, with these non-anything. And it's like, for me, it's just disgusting. And now it's like, we need to empathize with her. She's lost her job. She's pregnant. Well, she should have thought about that. You can't go out here acting recklessly. And for me, and I don't know if you've seen the video of mine yet. For me, it is the way that she is looking at those boys and saying help while aggressively trying to yank the bike from them. That, for me, case closed. And I don't care if she had receipts. I don't care if even the bike was hers and it was a misunderstanding. The way in which she acted in that manner and the way in which she invoked her privilege and she knew what she was doing, because the reality of the situation is, even if you are in a situation like that and you are feeling like you are unsafe, remove yourself from the situation. She didn't remove herself from the situation. She stayed in the situation, was the aggressor in the situation, and provoked the situation, in my opinion. Again, I think that it is we talked about this with the Jerry Springer. We only see 90 seconds of the clip, right? And so again, I don't know whose bike of what, if whatever the bike. My thing is her weaponizing her white woman privilege. And we have seen this time and time and time and time and time again in this American history, how things like that can play out. And she knew what she was doing. Sorry,
Yeah, the whole thing is just like, it was such a conundrum in the beginning because I didn't quite understand like how it even happened to begin with. Because so did this young gentleman and her just happen to get to the bike at the same time and then they start fighting over it? Like, was he there first and then she came? Was she there first and then he came? And it was just a misunderstanding as to who actually had ownership of the bike in that moment. Like who, you know, it just didn't, I was like, just like, what? So how does this get solved? And another thing, I'm sort of like, I don't really know how city bikes work. Like, I know here in Philadelphia, it's City Bike here too, right? Or is it a different brand? I don't know. Or is it, no, it's called Indablue or Indigo or something like that. I don't remember. But it's a similar type of service, I'm assuming. And I always thought that you, I thought that you needed the app and that it was a completely like cash-free, like card-free type of thing, but I could be wrong about that. I thought that you needed your phone for it, but maybe you can in New York City use both. I don't know.
I don't know about the cash part. I believe it's like the scooters, like they're docked. You get your phone, you scan it, you boom, 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 and then you're registered to the bike.
Right. So if he has his, because the gentleman in the video who's filming everything to protect himself is showing people, hey, I have, it's this bike, the number of this, like I just paid for this. It says that the bike is mine now. Like, I can't give you this bike because whatever reason, like I've been hearing people say, oh, well, if he would have given up the bike and something would have happened to it on her behalf, then he would be held liable, or a bunch of reasons as to why you should not let other people take the bikes that you have rented. I don't really know much about that because, once again, I've never ridden City Bike. I've never even used any type of bike share service, so I can't really speak to that. But a lot of people were saying you should never let someone else take a bike that you rented. It's just, you should not do that. But so if he's showing the receipt that he has, and she claimed after the fact that she had receipts, why wasn't she also trying to show people that she had receipts? It felt really, really strange that she was automatically just looking to get other people involved. Like, and what was that going to do? Because as other people were getting involved, he kept saying, here's the receipt, here's the number on the bike, here's the number on my phone. This is like, I'm not being aggressive with her. I'm just keeping my hand on the bike because I don't want her to have it. And I'm also showing you guys that I rented this bike just now. She did not. And I don't know. The whole thing just felt really, really weird. And like the lawyer that she like had, you know, talk about receipts and send out like and put out these statements reminded me a lot of the Jonathan Majors situation, actually, because I was like, you need to get yourself a new lawyer then. Because in the Jonathan Majors situation because for those of you that don't know, Jonathan Majors, you know, up and coming actor, really blowing up real fast. He's playing Kang in the Marvel Universe. He came down with a bunch of like allegations for like strangulation and assault and domestic violence and all that. And his lawyer then a week later or so said that he was going to release these videos of like, or not videos, but pictures of text messages that prove his client's innocence. And in the text messages, the texts are from the woman that I was allegedly abused saying, oh, I'm doing everything in my power to, you know, make sure that these charges, that I'm not going to file these charges. I don't want them to file the charges. It was my fault. It would not have happened had I not tried to take your phone. So it does actually, you are admitting that an altercation happened because you're putting out these text messages when you just said that the text messages were going to completely prove your client's innocence. Why would you then make it even more of a fact that, okay, so some kind of physical altercation did happen? The same thing with this situation with the city bike. Why would you say that you have receipts, then send the receipts to the New York City Post, and then on the receipts, there's nothing that says the bike was hers. So now it's just making you seem like you don't know what you're doing, and that now she just looks even more dumb because she's out here with the same messaging saying, I have receipts, I have receipts. Okay, then show the receipts. And if this isn't even a criminal case, this is like an employment lawyer. You're trying to make sure that you keep your job. So you could have leaked these receipts yourself. It's not like the persuasion of like the court of public opinion is going to have any bearing on an employment case. Now, if this were like a criminal case, then yes, like releasing evidence to the public, that's where you shouldn't be doing that, because that, you know, that you can't do that kind of stuff. But in on employment court, child, release the damn receipts if you have them so that we can all move on with our lives and stop talking about this damn bike. But on top of all of that, as Bryce said, the way that you tried to manipulate the situation because you knew that people were going to see, and taking race out of it, even though you never really can here in the States of America, taking race out of it, you knew on a basic level that a pregnant woman was going to automatically be given the image of innocence over two Black teenagers. You knew that was going to happen. You knew that people were going to see a woman screaming for help and automatically assume that the boys were in the wrong over a bike. So what was supposed to happen when people actually did show up? And you were just screaming indiscriminately for help and not for like police help, just indiscriminately for help. So anybody with any type of prejudice could have jumped into the situation and automatically assumed that the boys were in the wrong. Thank God this happened in a place like New York City, which is not, you know, a racist safe house or anything. It's not like, it's not to say that New York City is like a beacon of hope for everyone. But it's certainly, I'm glad that it happened someplace on the East Coast and in NYC of all places, as opposed to someplace down south. Because if this had happened down there, Lord knows what more, like what kind of social capital you would have had down there against them. So forget the bike, just have some self-awareness. And if you were that concerned about your safety and the safety of your baby, it's kind of weird that you would put yourself in that situation to begin with. Because like I said, either you guys showed up there at the same time and then start fighting over the bike, or one of you got there first and then started fighting over the bike. Either way, you're fighting over a bike and you're pregnant and it's two people against you.
And it ain't worth it. Like, and here's the thing. Again, taking race out of it, right? If I'm at a city bike in Philadelphia and it's three teenagers and like I think they had the bike and they had the bike, baby, you can have the bike. Like, you can have the bike.
Take it.
These teenagers in Philadelphia, they crazy.
They will, exactly.
I'm not,
Just take it. Like,
take it.
My mom has always told me that. Like, if you, now obviously as an adult, I can, you know, now that I'm a little bit more, you know, like it's situational for everyone. But at a basic level, I'm like, I'd never want to put myself at risk over some damn wallet or phone, or it's not worth it. Like, I can take it. I'll eat it. I'll eat the cost. I'll buy another one. I have insurance. Like, take it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. So it's just a crazy situation. For me, it is, I'm not surprising, but again, like, I think in her GoFundMe, when it was released, I think it was like $35,000 they were looking for her, whatever. Child, it was like 9 hours into it, and it had accumulated $32,000 already. I don't have any sympathy for her. I really don't, because it's like,
it's just because people, white people, and, you know, not even just white people, but I think that people just have a hard time understanding the basic concept of why her behavior was problematic. And they put themselves in her shoes and say, I would hate for myself to become publicly smeared as a racist just because I was fighting over a city bike that I believed to be mine. And it's like, well, yeah, I can understand that on a basic level, but, and no one's saying that this woman is like an outright racist. I think that her behavior was problematic. And I think that it's hard to grow up in the United States of America and not realize how race is supposed to affect things. Right. So maybe in the moment she didn't think too far ahead. Maybe in the moment she just thought, oh my God, I'm just going to scream for help because I know that someone will help me. Maybe that's as far as it went for her, but still problematic.
That's why I disagree, right? It is the way in which you have to just see her eyes as she's trying to yank this bike, looking at the young man on the bike and screaming help. It's disgusting. It literally is disgusting. And it's like, you know what you were doing. You know. For me, it was just like, and I seen the video on TikTok at 5 a.m. and I was just like, this is disgusting. And then the next day it had gone viral. So if you guys haven't, just type in city, like I think it's CITINYC Karen, and take a look at the video and just see what you say for yourself. And again, for those people, I said what I had to say. Now, keeping it on the TikTok, whoo, baby, child. I didn't realize how much tea I would be getting from TikTok. But there is a creator named Lexi J on TikTok, and she is a young white woman. She has a 93 or 95-year-old father, very affluent, you know, a little creator. Some of her videos are cute. Just living her life and like her perspective from growing up affluent, having a 95-year-old father. There are some people that like relate to having older parents with her and her content. So earlier this week, and which is so crazy, is again, when I was up at 4 in the morning, I saw the video. I watched this video and it struck me as odd. When I watched the video, it just struck me as odd. It was 4 in the morning. Then I turned over and went to sleep. This morning, when I was up again, because child, for whatever reason, I don't sleep anymore, Lexi J has received backlash from this video. This video was her taking her nanny back to the Philippines. Her nanny had been with her family for 30 years. And essentially, her nanny was retiring. In the video, she says, she alludes to a lot of different things in the video, right? She alludes to the fact that she's been in the United States for 30 years. She alludes to the fact in the video, at one point in time in the video, she says in the beginning that and now she's finally returning home to her family. While they are on the plane, because she's showing all of these clips of like the nanny and her taking the nanny back to the Philippines. And another clip in the video, she says that she wished that she could stay, but America won't let her. Okay, remember that. Then she also says in the video, when they get back to the Philippines, she's reunited with her children. She had two children that she has not seen in 30 years. And this woman has not gone back to the Philippines in 30 years. She has been their nanny. And the video is just cringy. And baby, the video has received so much backlash. The young lady took the video down. People in the comments were saying indentured servant. They are bringing because they are saying clearly
the way you said it.
They were saying indentured servant, and it's a thing, especially in the Filipino community, with this. Some people in the comments are saying modern day slavery. People are outraged as one, this young lady, how she is flaunting the fact that this woman has served her family for 30 years as a nanny.
I don't think she took the video down. I think it's still up here because I'm reading comments right now. People are saying it's giving Color Purple.
Well, yes, but
it's giving the help.
I think people screen recorded it. Is it still on her account? Because when I looked, I didn't see
her account. Lexiejayy.
Yes. Okay. So it's still up. The backlash that she is receiving, people are saying this affluent family in 30 years, you couldn't fly her family out. You couldn't bring her to you. So then in one of the comments, she says that their immigration lawyer or the nanny's immigration lawyer, urged that she shouldn't leave the country due to her status, and said that it would not look well for the children to come visit. People are calling BS on that. It's just so much to this. Then they're saying 30 years, like y'all couldn't help her get her papers, that y'all couldn't. And a lot of people are saying now that she is older, she doesn't walk well. Now you're returning her to the Philippines. that's what people are saying. It's so cringy of her and how this young lady is flaunting. Like here she is thinking she's making this viral moment. And really people are like, this is disgusting. People are saying it reminds them of Constantine and the Help. And so it just was like, I was like, oh my God, this is such an interesting thing. Then there were so many people stitching the video. There was this one young lady who was talking about this Filipino people, how they are expected to come to this country. And they're essentially like, indentured servants and how like they have to go into these industries of nannying and serving when some people have degrees. Some people are overqualified for these jobs, but they get in America and they don't recognize their degree. Other people are saying like, and again, she said that over the years, the 30 years, she sent all of her money back to her family. People are saying, well, she sent all of the money back. Why she couldn't apply for a green card? Why her family couldn't come visit her? Like, it's just like, and again, like when I watched the video, I didn't necessarily think of all of this. I just, in my mind, it was like, it's a little cringy. Then when I just started seeing and reading the comments, I'm like, wow. And there are a lot of people commenting, like there are a lot of Nigerian people saying that like how nannies and help in Nigeria is way more common than in the United States. However, they were saying the culture of it is different, how when they are in their home, they become like family. They take on these responsibilities. I don't know. It just was an interesting thing. But a lot of people were saying how these people, how she potentially was undocumented. They're like, what actually did she pay? What actually was she paid? Where is her pension? And so it just really opens up this conversation about, and people are calling it modern day slavery, how like people are saying it's BS. Their immigration lawyer saying that it's not wise for her family to come over and visit. And like, they're saying that like that potentially was scare tactics. And so some people are, and because mind you, I spend hours in the comments. There were other people stitching it like this family better hope that a large immigration firm or a immigration lawyer doesn't take a look at this and potentially like open this up to something way more bigger, like you having an undocumented person in your home for 30 years. Like, it just like the optics of it, I don't know. It don't look good.
I'm still stuck on her daddy being 95. What's going on? Child. like, what is going on? This is interesting. Like, to me, it sounds like just a regular case. Because how old is the girl? She's like, what, like 17, 18 now?
She's like 22.
Okay. 23. So she's so young. I think it's just a bad case of, you know, being privileged and thinking that, you know, and just not having blinders on and not really knowing how to step outside of yourself and be like, is this a good thing to do? Like, am I doing a little bit too self-gratuitous right now? Like, so a lot of people are capable of making those kinds of mistakes. And it's not like she was the one that was paying the nanny and in control of it. I mean, at least I would hope not. I'm sure it was, you know, probably her father and all that was going on. I don't know if I would have. I think, you know, it's fine to like post about how, you know, your, you know, nanny is headed home to the Philippines. But I don't know if I would have went into detail about saying, oh, she hasn't been there for 30 years and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like,
she hasn't returned home in 30 years. I mean, just the way that she is making it, like, oh, she's finally getting to go home. Well, girl, she's been working with y'all for 30 years. She ain't getting no vacation.
You could have just made it a video about going to visit and going to see the Philippines where your nanny is from. That's what you could have made it about that.
Girl, she was returning her.
But you made it about return to sender.
Right. And that's what when I watched the video, I was like, just a little weird. I couldn't necessarily put my pulse on it. And then when I, again, was back on TikTok at 5 a.m, and all of the backlash and hearing what people said, especially hearing from the Filipino community and how like they were like outraged. And I was like, you know what? I understand. I could see. And some people were saying like, this is what modern day slavery looks like. And they're like, the veil that these things are in front of our faces and we don't even realize. And that for me was really kind of like, I was like, wow. I could see what they are saying.
I will say to like give like a little bit of like grace here. One of my roommates is Filipino, and she has told me stories about like, you know, just how like it is sort of difficult for a lot of Filipinos to go back and forth, especially if they weren't born here. Like, you know, my roommate's born here. And so it's a lot easier for her. But you know, she talks about when she does go back,
there is like a level of animus in that country. Like she talks about how there are certain areas of the Philippines where you cannot go for fear of like real like violence, like death. And like she said that there are certain villages that are still beheading people up there, over there. So it's like there is a level of danger between like being undocumented and going back and forth. So I don't know. But again, if that was this woman's story, I don't know if you post that. Like, I don't know if you tell the world.
But my thing is, if y'all can afford a nanny for 30 years, let's just say that. Why are you not helping her get her citizenship? Why are you not like it just screams a lot without saying a lot. Now, mind you, I don't have all the information. I know the video made me uncomfortable after reading some of the comments and hearing from other the videos. I kind of tended to side with them. And right, like they're saying, oh, she's a part of our family. She's like family. Well, is she really?
Because it sounds like y'all are putting her on the bench.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she got kids of her own. She ain't seen them in 30 years. Just crazy. Look up Lexi J on TikTok. See the video, see the stitches. Let us know what you think. It's an interesting, to say the least, topic. Now, our last topic that I had to put this on here because I knew Iman would get a kick out of it. Beyonce's Renaissance tour is her European leg has started. We are loving the visuals. She is looking amazing. Okay.
Yes.
I am loving it. I'm here for the videos. I can't wait till she comes to Philadelphia. I got to figure out what I'm going to wear. Child. Okay. The Beehive just ain't never happy. So it's two things I want to talk about. One, after like her first stop, I don't know if it was it Stockholm. I'm not sure. But child, the Beehive was complaining that they felt like Beyonce wasn't dancing enough. They were like, you know, she just recovered from this foot surgery and her movement is minimal. She's not giving us the whole full Beyonce thing. I'm like, yo, like what? I'm like the videos that I seen, girl, I'd be out of breath. And
right.
It's, girl, yeah, maybe she not going full out. It's March. She gonna be doing these numbers until November. Like,
and she's still recovering from foot surgery.
Right. Damn. But baby, the clip that I want to talk about, y'all know Beyonce's head of security, Julius. Now, it is, we love Beyonce, right? I feel like sometimes we put Beyonce on this immortal status. And I always get a kick out of when these old Destiny's Child videos surface and like you get to see young Beyonce being shady. We love it. The last one is Farrah with, you know, Farrah saying that she's got to leave. And Beyonce's like, well, you better get on that plane. And she's like, well, I need my luggage. Beyonce said, we could send you your luggage. Or there's clips of Farrah talking about Say My Name and how she sings on it. And Beyonce looks down and looks to the left. It's just like classic, like, shady little moments. Well, baby, there is this clip that is surfacing of Beyonce coming out. And people that are in Club Renaissance, they see Julius. They are yelling, oh, my God, Julius! And baby, the clip that they have of Beyonce, she is singing. She hears this. She looks. And people have zoomed in on the video. And if you could see Beyonce's face.
I really don't think this is that deep.
It is just funny because it's Beyonce. And Beyonce is so private. So we don't really get a lot of her. Girl, her face. Like, literally, it's like 3.3 seconds where she is like, what the hell? But then she realizes, like, oh, I'm a tour. And she fixes it. She like, well, listen, if you... Did y'all come here to see me or did you come here to see Julius sing Single Ladies? Do you want Julius to sing Resentment? Do you want Julius to say 10, 10, 10s all across the board? Beyonce, like, who are y'all here to see? It is just her facial expression. You know it, Iman. You had those facial expressions for those 3 seconds. Then she catches herself and turns to the other side. You know.
I really don't
think. You know the queen was like, who y'all here to see?
I don't think
you know
that
it.
What's what it was. I really don't. And I, yes, Beyonce, those clips of her in the Destiny's Child days were funny and full on shady, but that was like 25 years ago. I think that what honestly happened was that she came out and she heard people screaming Julius's name and was like, what's going on? As in, did something happen? Like, what is going on? Because people don't normally scream. The Beehive is crazy, okay? So the fact that we are Julius is like a part of like the entourage, as in like people like scream his name, as in like, yes, like Julius! Like, she's probably like, why are they screaming his name? Like, not in a shady way, but like, what is going on? Like, is Julius famous too? Like, I don't think that it sinks in on her sometimes that everything that is involved with Beyonce is like its own entity at this point. Like, I think that that's really truly what it was. I don't think
her and Julius, the narrative of her being
like, oh, y'all better not be screaming Julius. I think that that's all fun and dandy. I think that that's hilarious, but I truly don't think that's what it was. I think that she was just confused.
It is the face. The fact that they have zoomed in on the video to the point that you see her scrunch her face up and then you see her catch herself and instantly turn. I doubt she really was like, are y'all here to see Julius and me? But her and Julius lock eyes and you know they are having a kiki in their head. You know, after that tour, after that show, her and Julius was cracking up. It is just the facialness. That ain't even a word. Is her facial reaction to it all. And the fact that, like, just the angle, the fact that she was on the Jumbotron at the time, y'all just have to see the face. It just lends to the, ooh, y'all here to see Julius. Well, here, Julius. Let Julius perform for 3 hours for y'all. It is so funny. Have you also seen the clip of Child Mama Tina? I don't know how the hell Mama Tina got over in the Beehive section, right? And somebody is like, I'm with Mama Tina. And she is like, shh. Then it kind of sort of becomes a little bit of a circus. And Mama Tina is like, okay, my cover is blown. Let me get the hell up out of here. And so she tries to like, she gets the attention of the security. And it's like, I need for y'all to get me up over this gate. And in true Beehive fashion, the Beehive helps Mama Tina climb the barrier of the gate to get over there. But Mama Tina, what in the hell was you doing in Club Renaissance?
Exactly.
By yourself. She said, okay, Miss Tina wanted something from the concession stands and she ain't feel like waiting.
That's what I was saying. I was like, why are you even, why? Like, what is going, like, where is your security? Like, why are you having to, like, do jumping jacks over the damn, like, fence? Like, what is going on here?
A mess. But I love it. This is the thing that I love about tours, and especially the Beyonce tours. There are so many unpredictable moments that we get, and we just love it because Beyonce is so private. We don't get a lot of these things. But listen, the Renaissance tour is stunning. I cannot wait until I get to see it in person in Philadelphia in July. But yeah.
Yeah, I've been really trying to temper myself and really stay away from Twitter so that I don't hear or see all of the stuff, because I really want to be surprised when I see all this stuff. But, I couldn't resist. So I did like hop on a couple of times and take a look at some of what's going on. Like, I still haven't seen anything in full, so I don't really know. I don't know how it starts. I don't know how it ends. But I've seen a few things here in the middle. I've seen a couple of the looks. But hopefully by the time she gets here to Philly, which is the first show in the U.S., that some things are switched up. And who knows? Maybe more stuff will be coming out. She released an America Has a Problem remix with Kendrick Lamar, which I felt so vindicated by, because I was having a conversation with a couple of my friends and we were talking about potential next singles. And I was like, I really feel like America Has a Problem should be one. And they were like, what? Like, that's not a single. I was like, well, no, it's perfect. Like, it's a perfect, like, summer, like, 90s type, like, radio-friendly jam. Like, it's perfect. And then,
don't even talk to me about a single, okay? Because a proper single comes with a visual. However, the one thing that I did see is that she did address the fans, okay? In the show, I did read one of the clips that says, a queen moves at her own pace. So, yes, respond in tour-esque. So visuals are coming. Who knows?
Finally. When I mean, at least tell us something, even if it is something as simple as that. Like, I think that what's been grating on us, Beyonce, Giselle, Knowles, Carter, is that there has just been utter radio silence about it. Okay? Like, I know that, like, you can be doing whatever. You're the queen, but you could do whatever you want. But I mean, tell your damn fans what's going on.
A queen moves at her own pace. Here is the one thing that I need to happen, Amon. When we are at the Renaissance tour, we've got to link up for a photo.
Oh, for sure.
We got to find each other, because that's the only reason why I'm really going to the Beyonce concert. Because
well,
I just
you know where
around.
You can find me.
Oh, but
Club okay. Lenny, baby.
Okay, well, listen, help me over that fence like Mama Tina, okay? Well, thank you so much. This has been such an amazing casual tea. It's always great to chat with you. Hopefully, we will be back sooner rather than later. Anything you got cooking that you want to let the posse know?
RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 8 has started up. We are currently on episode 4. So you head over to Rehap Ups in order to get all of our recaps over there with me and Liana. And Beth, other than that, that is it for now.
Yes. Well, listen.
Hopefully BB25, although all the stuff that we've been hearing so far is telling us that we're not getting that till August. So I don't even know what to believe anymore.
Ooh, well, they just ran commercials on the last Survivor episode, so we'll have to see. Well, listen, thank you so much, Amon. This has been your Casual Tea with Amon and Bye. Y'all came here to see me, or you came here to see Julius. You pick.
I'm dead.
Barb's got a message. Barb's got a message. Barb's got a message for you. Barb's got a message for you. Oh, and I hope it comes.
Hi, this is Ms. Barb, and I'd like to share a few more words with you, as I've done in the past. The ultimate gift to go along with all healing journeys is the gift of compassion. A person who constantly reminds themselves of mistakes will never move forward. We must always allow ourselves space to heal, to learn, to be wrong, to be human. If you vilify yourself and others over mistakes, especially small ones, it can build up big resentments in the present and the future. Instead, use the information to teach yourself how to maneuver the next time you are in a particular situation. You need to give yourself compassion more than you need to beat yourself up. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. This week's Freak of the Week is very special to Gunkle Bryce, okay? As you guys know, maybe the last 9 months we have talked about on Survivor News, and I might have even talked about on the Purple Pants podcast, one of my best friends in this world is when Deezy and his partner Chelsea have been pregnant, okay? And you know, Gunkle Bryce is the Abdullah, you know, the Abdullah that delivers the baby. And so it is with very proud honor that we make this week's Freak of the Week the young prince of the Purple Pants Podcast Network. It is Wendeezy and Chelsea's first child. He was born this Friday, okay? And he is beautiful, healthy. I got to. So anyway, Wendell and Chelsea, they had their baby. Yeah! I'm a Gunkle, okay? Gunkle Bryce, okay? You can figure out what Gunkle means, but yes, okay, representation is very important, so we're going to let him know very early. You got a Gunkle Bryce. And, you know, I've been so excited for the arrival of this child, and he was born on Friday. I got to meet him on Saturday, and when I went into the hospital room, he had just got done a procedure and he was crying, and I entered the room. And, you know, when I just was talking to Wendell and Chelsea, I think the things that it's the little things in life that you forget. And so I am very good friends with Wendell and very good friends with Chelsea. So I've been around this whole 9 months of the pregnancy and I've been around Chelsea. And so, you know, Uncle Bryce been around, you know. And so for me, what was very special was that he just got a procedure done and I just happened to walk in after they were like, you know, giving some instructions. And when the prince heard my voice, it was just so amazing to see kind of sort of him kind of like cry, but also like that look on his face like, I heard this voice before, maybe when I was in my mother's stomach. But he is beautiful. He is healthy. And again, this week's Freak of the Week is the prince that has been born into the kingdom. I can't say how much beautiful, amazing he is. A huge congratulations to Wendeezy and Chelsea for the birth of their first child, the prince of the Purple Pants Kingdom, Gunkle Spice. I am a Gunkle yet again. And you know, Uncle Bryce love the kids. And it's just so special. So to anyone that has been pregnant, that has had children, you know what that moment is like. And I don't have children of my own, but I really do take it very seriously when my friends, my siblings have children. It is almost as if, like, you know, the child was in my uterus that I don't have exist. But I am so happy. I'm so thrilled for Wendell and Chelsea to go on this journey. I'm so blessed that they have allowed me just to be a part of this process and, you know, want me in their child's life. It's a very special thing. So this week's Freak of the Week is the young prince that has been born. If Wendell and Chelsea's firstborn is this week's Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to a close of another amazing episode. Thank you so much, Purple Pants Posse. And to our first time, maybe our last time, our new listeners, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you so much for your continued support of the Purple Pants Podcast. It does not go unnoticed. I thank you so much. If you have not already, please ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your Gunkle Bryce some 5 stars. I haven't seen some reviews in a long time, so I would love to see some new reviews on the podcast apps, okay? And don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend. Is it Julius or me? Because Issa.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.